to Ever Beyond. On Wolf Spirit Radio, everbeyondradio.com, Tiernasau from Ireland, ScottishSovereignsOnTheLand.ning.com. Be prepared to leave your belief systems behind as we go beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality, ever beyond. Ah, yes. Good afternoon. Good evening. Welcome to People and Tiernasau. Welcome, everybody. Wolf Spirit Radio, Ever Beyond Radio. This is JP, and I was going to have a guest who was going to talk. We were going to talk pyramids and paradigms and all sorts of things, interesting things. The great granddaughter of Alexander Graham Bell. But she was sick, so we'll have her back. And I thought, oh, I'll ask Walton. So I asked Walt, and he said, yeah, and then he said no. And during the time between yes and no, I'd already created a whole bunch of publicity, so I cancelled all that. So the universe is telling me something. It says, okay, maybe I need to just speak from within and see what comes up, because that's what happens whenever I have a show and there's no guest, nobody turns up. There's a reason, you know. I usually have somebody coming on. So you have me. Let me just go and just make sure that I'm logged into the chat room. Where am I? Where's the chat room? There's Wolf's Radio, and there's the chat room. So many windows open, and Skype's been playing up very badly today. So. Maybe it'd be good not to have any Skype or anything at all. Yes, lovely, thank you. It's all good. Yes, the Skype connection. Hang on a second. I rebooted my server. And my radio server, and my router, and my computer, and yeah, just I rebooted everything in turn today, just to try and clear the internet issues. But well, everything seems to be hanging on quite nicely here. Who knows? In the second hour, I might even go stereo and play some nice music or something. Anyway, the first thing is today feels like one of those days. This is Midsummer's Day, so number one. For those of you who are fortunate enough to be fathers, happy Father's Day. For those of you who have fathers, happy Father's Day. For those of you who have had a father, happy Father's Day. And for all those fathers, thank the mothers, because you wouldn't be a father without your mother, or without any mother. And so, you know, I always, yeah. Pass it along, pass it forward, bless her heart. But it's really weird to have a son who calls you on Father's Day. I've never had that before. Well, you know, obviously this is the first time, but you know, he's now independent and at university and calls his father on Father's Day, you know, like, that's brilliant. I love that. I never thought. That was completely unexpected. So anyway, as well as Father's Day, it's Midsummer's Day. So that's really cool as well. Because, well, it's actually really cool, literally cool here in Britain, or at least here in northern Scotland, where it's always raining, even on Midsummer's Day. Yeah, really, it's been raining all day. Cloudy and overcast. We didn't see the sunrise. We, you know, had a bunch of us. Well, not a bunch of us. had another couple over, a couple of friends, and there we were sitting around the fire. Nothing, you know. Couldn't see a thing. No cloud. I mean, no sun. Sunlight through the thick cloud that was there this morning. So that was, well, you know. That was like what you say is,
Oh, typical.
Yeah. Anyway, so here we are. A typical Midsummer's Day in Scotland, and we haven't seen the sun for about 3 years, I don't think. And actually, it's all right. I see the sun usually most days on the sunrise, on, you know, at the sunrise time, because in northern Scotland in the summer, you know, this is the sun. You know, when, just after the show ends, that's when the sun will come up. Nah, it will come about 3 o'clock. So after my show tomorrow night, for instance, the sun will be rising. So I'll be going out to greet the sun there. And that's quite interesting to live with a nearly midnight sun. Very interesting. So yes, so happy Midsummer's Day. And now what happens? Saturn has gone retrograde in Scorpio. Yeah, that didn't sound good. That's for another 2 years. So yeah, that's good. Yes, happy Father's Day for my ex-wife indeed. There we go. How did I do? Oh, for some reason, I'm exhausted today. I just have no energy. It's probably because I should have been dancing around the fire last night. But nobody's had any energy for it. So we all just sat around and ate curry and joked and told stories. It was lovely. It was lovely. Lovely to have some friends over. A sort of spontaneous dinner party. So, meanwhile, oh, hey, Serena, hey. Yeah. So, you know, I've been one of the things I've been messing about with this week is electronics, and I'm not going to bore you with it because it's. It's inspired me to actually start another YouTube channel for geeks. Basically, I want to show people how easy it is to start generating small amounts of your own power, and work with you know, how to generate electricity. Just in the beginning, in the very basic way, in the, you know, the standard uniform magnets and coils and movement and things. Way, but I would like to expand people's understanding and see if we can move into other zones that are slightly more creative with the use of energy. And but obviously, you know, if you start replacing oil and petrol, the people who sell you oil and petrol are not going to be happy. So this is one of the things that we all as experimenters have to be careful of. That you don't inadvertently, you know, because you may not even know, you know, you may invent something that you think does one thing, but the powers that be recognize that, you know, if you just see what that thing does, the implications of it is that they're out of pocket. So that's bad for business. And so they would go out and hurt you. So they rely, you know, most companies rely on the fact that people don't do things for themselves. You know, they do it for you. Being A, cheap, or B, poor, I've learned how to do a lot of things for myself. But I think these are like normal things. These are things that back in the day everybody would have done. And so they're kind of standard skills. I think everybody should have, you know, everybody should be able to, like, cut some wood and make a shelf. But yesterday, I was literally cutting wood and making shelves, and I found I really enjoyed it. And I think one of the things that I will pursue more is the cutting wood and making shelves, or making things. Yeah, usually it's boxes. Yeah, it's making things with right angles most of the time. With wood, anyway. I've never actually made any geometric form with wood, because it involves complex angles, and I'm, for some reason, very blocked on making complex angles. I tried it once. I almost got it. It almost kind of got in my head that I could if you make that 45 degrees and this one 45 degrees, it'll cut a 30 degree. I don't quite get it. It's strange. It's, I suppose it's three-dimensional physics. Oh yes, and of course it's, that's what you call it, a solstice, where the sun is stationary. The sol station. Yes. That sound, that's my guitar. It's the strings are scraping against a platform there. Yeah. Right, so the... So yeah, one of these ideas is I'm looking at automation. Now, automation is like they call things smart things, but basically, instead of having an on-off switch in someone, not in something, you can have something that is slightly more sophisticated than an on-off. You could have on and then off after 20 minutes. Unless somebody's moving in the room, or it's past 3 o'clock and everybody's in their bedrooms and you can turn the light off by then. That sort of thing, instead of just a simple on-off, it's got, like, you can make choices. This is using this tiny little process controller, they're called. Inside a washing machine, you have a mechanical process controller, which is the little... Well, you don't, unless you've taken a washing machine apart, there's this box in there that's got all these switches and dials and stuff. And as it flicks through the dials, some switches go off, some switches go on. You know, like the switch to close the valve will go on, the switch to start the pump will go on, the switch to turn the drum will go on. You know, things like that, so that the different actions that make up the washing machine cycle are completed. So nowadays, instead of having a great big mechanical switch that is very difficult to build, you know, imagine, because it's a very specific function, and you have to have it all programmed out very carefully, just in case. You know, imagine having a bug in a mechanical system like that, you know. And then you mass produce them, you know, 200 million of these devices that all have a bug in them. Yeah, so you don't do that. But people seem to... It seems to be all right in software, you know. Oh, we'll just send you the latest update for the firmware. Really? Is that because you didn't get it right in the first place? Yeah. Okay. So, it's been a... you see, it's all part of the energy system thing about solar panels. I'm making a solar panel... arrays that are in different places. Like I've got one on one side of the house. My house points towards west, east west. You know, so the roof, the main roof is south facing, but there's a great big tree in the way, so I can't put a solar panel there because you know it'll be shaded by the tree, and I don't want to hurt the tree. So I have to put the panels at the sides, and because they're at the sides, they don't get the sun all the day, so I have to be clever about switching them on and off and things like that. So I thought, well, wouldn't it be good if I had a little computer that could listen to that and see if there's any sun coming in on that panel and, you know, bring that into the charging circuit, switch that on. Oh, this one's gone off. The sun's gone away from there. I can turn that one off, so it doesn't. You see, if you have it, it will drain away. If you don't switch it off, where you have a diode there. So that sort of thing. I was chatting with my son today about what you do to, if you wanted the solar panel to follow the sun. How would you do that? And I've thought about this for years. In fact, a lot of the things that I've been thinking about for years are now able to manifest because of the Arduino. This is little process controller, it's like I've been thinking, wouldn't it be nice if there was a device that could flash with your signature sound on the things like that? And now I can build them because this. These little controllers, they're about £3, you know, $5. And you can program them, they run off a battery, and they do intelligent things. They can respond intelligently. And I made a little project. The first one I made, you know, I put some parts together. And I thought, right, I want a thing that lights a series of LEDs according to the intensity of the light that's falling on this this switch, and also to make a sound that makes the reflects that there's more and more intense light shining on it. So so that's what I made, and I put it on YouTube. You can check out my new JP432 YouTube channel. There are things afoot. There are things at hand. Things at hand. There are many things that are going on. Let me just reconnect with the chat room on what happened there. Hope you didn't lose me. There we go. So I've been experimenting with LEDs, light emitting diodes, and I found a fantastic shop in China that sells things and sends them to me for free. So, well, they don't send for free. The postage is free, but you have to pay for them. But it's amazing stuff, like this Arduino kit, which arrived, and very excitedly opened the box, and it was a treasure trove. It was like opening a variety pack of experimenters' favourite things, and not only has it got, you know, it's got LEDs and photoresistors and photodiodes and switches and buttons and sounders and you know, all the things that make up little projects. So so there isn't it, you know, the thing itself is about the size of a cigarette packet, and then there's a breadboard that you can, that comes with it, and you can assemble your projects on there, you know, and you push your components into it. It's just fantastic. I've been like a teenage geek in the 70s. I think actually I'm reliving a teenagehood that was kind of slightly interrupted by my physics teacher, who destroyed my faith in physics. But anyway, I relearned physics from the inside out through music. Actually, it's very interesting that music and physics are very, very closely connected. As music and maths and frequency, it's all about frequency and the thing they call chymatics. I've been thinking about this. Nikki had a show on earlier, Wolf Baby's show in the Den, and she was talking about different races bringing their own geometrics with them, which led me to think, yes, because a geometric form is produced by a frequency. So I wonder, I thought to myself, I wonder what the geometric form of 7.83, of the Schumann resonance, is basically. This is a question I am putting out there. You know, what is the geometric form, the chymatic form, in three dimensions of the frequency of the Schumann resonance? And I'm sure that that will create nodal points, which perhaps may move as the frequency changes, but it will create nodal points on the surface of the planet, and that's where our sacred sites are, because there's more focused points of energy. JP432, yes, indeed. Yes, I think so. Actually, let me see if I can find it and get there. It's just something, I start things, I just do things at random. I do a lot of things at random. It's like, oh, let's just go and do that. Yeah. Let's start a new thing. And then I'll leave it. I'll leave it over 3 or 4 years. And then I'll come back to it. By which time, I'm ready to do it. And it's just like, you know, putting a post in the ground. This is where my house is going to be. How do I get to Google? I had a Google window open. Oh, this is rubbish. Anyway. So, let's talk about the energies of the moment, which is really where I wanted to get. I think in a way my sudden deep interest in electronics and things of my teenage years, that I'm, you know, I'm sort of going a bit into a kind of what you'd call a geek mode. Well, people have been asking me to repair computers, and it's a good time, by the way, because I can do it really quickly. And what's happening is that there's a lot of conflict in the world, and I've noticed even in interpersonal conversations between people that there's a lot of misunderstanding. And I think that that's because there's a lot of interference caused by physical pain that's in the body, and people are more irascible and unable to demonstrate that much more patience. And then, of course, there's all the other stuff that's going on, like what shooting is it? Where was the shooting this month? Sort of thing. Things that are, again, Cindy said something a few minutes ago, half an hour ago, that they ramp up every time they do a false flag of these, some terrible tragic event. It's like it fizzles out a little bit. Fizzles out the news, and then they have to bring in a new one. There's a reason for that. One moment. Excuse me, I had to clear my nose. Oh, I don't know why. It's the middle of summer, and I have a runny nose. I wonder what that's about. It's probably chemtrails. That's the way it happens around here. I mean, it's midsummer. You shouldn't have a cold in midsummer. After all, I take all this vitamin D. And I'm all spiritual-like. And I eat gluten-free food. Ah, maybe it's not gluten-free. Maybe it wasn't gluten-free. And I'm suffering the thing. These are vitamin D tablets. It's all right. Wonderful little things. Quite cheap. I'm going to swallow one now. Sorry about that. So anyway, taking vitamin D to combat chemtrails is the order of the day. By the way, if you want to feel a little bit better, you take about 5,000 units a day. There's only like 5 tablets, and that really keeps everything kind of protected. Keeps your immune system at tip-top running, and will help you. And you can't overdose on vitamin D. You really can't, you know. I mean, it would be stupid. You know, you'd have to take really, really insane amounts, which is like, only insane people do insane things like that. So you're safe, you know. I trust that if you're listening to this show, you're not insane. And hopefully you're more sane than most people, which is why you're listening. Meanwhile, tiddling, there is a sense of heightened energy at this time. Now, whether this heightened energy is a natural phenomenon caused by solar flares, let's have a quick look. What's the sun doing? The sun looks like there's something. My gosh. So just having a look at the sun. Looks like there's another sun inside the sun burst that's coming out. That's swirling and coming out. Let me just push this in. I'll put this in the chat room. It does look like there's a little sun inside the bigger sun. There we go. Check this. Yeah, weird. Yeah. Oh, excellent. Excellent, excellent, excellent. I just a quick aside. I gave a a friend of mine who uses a mobile phone a lot. He's a district nurse. And he's just saying, thank you for the shungite you gave me. I've attached it to the back of my phone, and I swear I've had less headaches and heavy tired feelings. Somehow it feels cleaner when I'm attached to the phone all day. Just thought I'd let you know how it worked. Cheers. Excellent. Excellent. Anyway, oops. Wrong side. Right. Excellent. So this is what we've... what Nancy calls a Bucky Band-Aid. Excellent. We call a shungite slap-on. That's Nikki's name for it. So we sell those on the site here in the UK. So I gave one as a sample to my friend here, and because he was moaning about his, you know, getting a bit of an earache when he's using the mobile, I said, "Oh, try this." So there you go. Another happy customer. So, meanwhile, where was I? Before I was rudely distracted by my own brain. Leave this page. Yes, leave this page now. New crop circle, which is pretty dark. No, that hasn't got any. It's got no aerial shots. There we go. New crop circle. That's quite nice. It's like... actually, it's very much like the sun. Check this out. All right. So, if you go to the Wolf Spirit Radio chat room and look at this. That is so funny. I don't know if you can see the detail. I'll see if I can get a better close-up of that picture. But it's very similar. I have to say, that is really, really similar. And quite disturbing, indeed. Let's see if I can find a better, a more close picture of this. There's some ground shots. Alright, that's a better one. That is very, very strange. Because if you look at the picture of the sun, that looks like there's a little disc inside a little swirl, and then you look at this crop circle, which is almost, I mean, it's a little stretch of the imagination, but it does look very similar in a sort of form to what's going on in the sun. There's a swirl and there's a circle right in the middle. How bizarre. How bizarre is that? Anyway, I'm just going to check on Skype to see if the telephone lines are open, in which case you can call in. We can maybe talk geeky things or maybe not geeky things. It depends. On what you want to do. We can talk about the Bell and the the Philadelphia experiment and the rips in space-time. Not that I know about. Now, I know, I'd like to know what happened to the tears in space-time. This is the really pressing question of how it all works. I'd like to play a tune. That's what I'd like to do. Let's have some Nina Simone. Yeah, and welcome back, and yes, so now we've got something to talk about, because I've just been talking with Nancy, and she asked me about CERN, and I thought, oh, that's interesting. CERN, what happened in CERN? What happened in CERN, Nancy?
Well, what happened was that, as a matter of fact, let me just get you a link. I'll put it in the... chat here.
Yeah, put it in more spirit chat, and I'll look from there.
I'm going to put it right in the chat room. And what happened was that it was Richard sent me a link on I think it was Monday. I don't remember exactly which day it was, but he sent me this link, and it was fascinating because it was a shot of the sun, two shots actually, where it went completely white. Like, I used to be I'd have the sun, you know, sun.com or whatever it was, and I would look all day long at what the sun was doing. I just was fascinated with it back in 2011 and stuff. So I've seen a lot of these sun pictures. I have never seen one where it was so incredibly bright. Neither had this guy, and I don't know what his story is. I don't know if he's, you know, like, just looks at it like I did, or whether he knows more than I did. I didn't really know that much. Just like looking at the sun. But he also said, oh my God, I've never seen anything like this. And so he took a screenshot of it. And 15 minutes later, the sun is absolutely black. The only thing it looks like is some cinders are burning on it. And he's like, you know, I mean, all I got was this YouTube presentation that you can go to the link there and you'll see the screenshots. We've got a slideshow and you'll see the links to those, to that one. And then the next day, Richard sends me another one, another link, and it's about CERN. And that how CERN, virtually within a few hours of this, we were confused because of CERN time versus what the satellite time was. It was the same day. And we didn't know, did CERN, which was operating, supposedly operating, and suddenly went down. And what the report gives you in the YouTube presentation there is that the readout said that this one particular component of the system had been destroyed. So this guy goes and finds out that this particular component is the data storage component, and he did not know whether or not the equipment was destroyed or the data was destroyed. Like I say, I don't know that much about either of those people or their reliability or anything. It's just the reports. But again, I don't believe in coincidence. So if I get one and then I get another one, I'm going like, oh my gosh, what is this? And so I would get interested. I was listening to you when you started showing the sun, and that's what made me think about it. And I went and I tried to find out, well, what's the situation with CERN right now? And I can't find anything. They were talking about CERN having any kind of problem on the 16th. And it keeps sending me to the CERN website. So I don't know what this is all about, and that, which is why I asked you, had you heard anything about CERN going down?
Okay, so then what comes, whenever there's an idea that the CERN has done something, that they've switched it on or they switched it off or something happens, the idea is that when they switch the thing on, CERN destroys the universe. But that we're preserved because we just flick into a parallel universe, and or what we call a parallel timeline. And so I then said to you, well, it sounds like we've switched timelines. To which you replied, Gene Rockefeller.
I said, yeah, I didn't have the mic on. Well, Gene Rockefeller sent me a email and said, we just had a 15, she said, we just had a timeline change. Did you feel anything? And it just so happens that I had been sitting in the yard with my friend Peter, so there wasn't anything around us that would have really indicated a timeline change unless we'd fallen off our chairs. But I went into the computer because I needed to do one little thing, and I said, oh, let me go in and do it. So I'm brought into the computer just as Gene sends me this message. I mean, a minute after she sent it, I was reading it, talking about a timeline change. So I'm not really sure what she saw or what was happening, but again, you're right. It could be some kind of a weird... I just found something on CERN that's saying, I don't know, it's Grand Sasso, firing pulses of protons, and now we got neutrons. But it's dated the 16th, which is the same date that, you know, like I say, if you go to that link there, that which is cosmicreality.net blog, when we're going to talk about something, we put up a page, like you do for your website, about your guests, and we put it up so that people can go to it when we're talking on the radio. But it's also will be on the May, I guess, I don't know, was it the May, Tuesday's show, whatever date that is, cosmicreality.net, the Cosmic Reality Show archives. You can also get them on Wolf Spirit. If you, you know, donate and then subscribe to the archive, you can get all of the shows that have ever been over the years, so you can do that too. But it's just like, all of a sudden, now I'm not seeing anything confirming that CERN is even down, which, you know, they can do that to us too. So it's another one of those we don't know yet stories.
You know, there's another thing that people can do, and I'm just seeing, where is it? But I have been playing with some of these things called RSS aggregators, and for some reason, I couldn't find it. So whenever you put something on, whenever you blog an item on Cosmic Reality, it will come into the list on Wolf Spirit Radio that is down the side of the listen page on the right. So I post articles about my upcoming shows. Tracy posts articles about stuff. Everybody who's on Wolf Spirit Radio gets aggregated on there. Who's got a blog gets aggregated on the right there. So that is like Wolf Spirit's news is aggregated news from all of our hosts. Isn't that cool? Did you know that? Where have you gone?
I just lost the last probably 30 seconds of what you said.
All right. Okay. So aggregated feeds from all the different hosts. That's our news page.
Yes. Yes.
So anyway, looking at the sun. It's got this kind of spiral thing, and then there's this kind of light on the inside. Have you seen that bit? Have I lost you? Yeah. Oh, wonder why. Is it my end? No.
I got the mic. It's me. I got the mic off. No, I went back to look at the sun picture again. Yes, and that's a picture I've never seen of the sun before. I mean, virtually, anytime you look at it, it looks different than it's ever been before. Whatever's happening up there is fine. It's okay. Don't panic. It's just what the sun does when it gets into this area of the universe that we've talked about before that has all this excessive energy in it. And it feeds it, and it gets bigger, and it gets whiter, and it gets hotter, and it does other things, and it could be a Stargate portal. We don't know about that either.
There's a very much of a swirling kind of opening up sort of energy about this thing.
Well, did you look at those pictures on that page? I put the link on.
Yeah.
You see that one with the black one? Ooh.
Yeah, and. You got there's one that had all the magnetic fields and everything like that. I've been watching these things for a long time. There it is. Yes, I've been clicking up and down the pages, watching all of the sun pictures since about 1999, because me and my wife were worried about solar flares even then. We were the millennium bug couple. So so there's this one, and there's you can see the sun is very white heat, and then there's the shutdown that seems to not exist anymore. And then you've got the everything's just black. Everything is black. It blacks out. It's bizarre.
Within 15 minutes.
Yeah.
At the same time that CERN, according to the other website that was showing the actual readout of CERN, said it went down. Now, were they running some kind of a weird test and the guy thought it was real and it wasn't? I don't know. But I do know that I'm not seeing anything indicating that this ever even happened. Which, again, unfortunately, could, you know, they can do these things.
No, it's interesting if you can catch a screenshot from another timeline. There's a thing.
Well, you know the strangest timeline switch I ever saw was when Congressman Kathy Gifford got Kathy? No, it's not Kathy. Gifford got shot. Oh, what was her first name? She was in a shopping mall environment, and this guy came and shot a whole bunch of people, killed them, even a little girl, 9-year-old. And severely wounded her, shot her in the head. And it was a Saturday, and this was when I was into my nonstop watching the news. And so the news was always on, and on Saturday, I preferred CNN. I just liked the presentation was a little better, so it was running. And I lay down, and I'm just taking a break, and all of a sudden they come on with, Congressman Gifford has been shot, and they showed a picture of her, and she had this long auburn kind of hair, and they kept talking about, you know, they were just getting the information in, and so I'm kind of dozing and I'm listening to this, and every time I looked up it was the same picture on the screen, and I'm dozing, and all of a sudden they go, we're sorry to announce that she's died. And then I'm going like, oh man, that's what is that going to mean to everything, you know, because she was it was going to be another one of these awful things, mass killings, and now they've killed and assassinated a congresswoman. And then they came back, and they actually said that PBS had announced that she had died. And then about 15 minutes later, they came back and they said that the report was erroneous and she was still alive. And I open up my eyes, and the picture that they had showed for no less than 3 hours was no longer there. And the picture that was there was of what we came to know as being her look. Short-haired, dyed, you know, sort of blondish, and a totally different person, really. And I'm laying there, and I'm going like, I think we just went through a timeline switch where this woman died, but the impetus to keep her alive for whatever, I mean, she is an amazing example of just being able to beat the odds. I mean, she had a bullet in the left part of her brain, and now she's out walking and talking, and, you know, just an amazing, amazing recovery. So, but that was the most dramatic timeline change I've ever seen in my life, where I never saw that other picture again, ever. It was like the woman didn't even exist on this timeline. Only the one that had the short blonde hair instead of the shoulder length auburn hair. Very peculiar.
I wonder if there is a sense of irritation when a timeline changes. I wonder if there are any human senses that kind of go off when the timelines change. You know what I'm saying? That there might be some kind of indicator that we can judge physically. You know, or an effect that, well, you know, when, you know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do. And when John Kennedy was assassinated when I was 15 years old, I'm walking and I'm listening to the radio, but I'm not paying attention to the radio. And all of a sudden, I felt like I was walking through some, it was like semi like walking through water, but more like walking through some weird mist thing. And at 15 years old, I don't have any metaphysical experiences. I don't know anything about this. But I clearly remember going, what's wrong? What is happening? And then I'm like, all my senses got heightened, and I'm like, it sounds like the radio is screaming at me, and they're announcing that the president has been declared dead in Dallas. So there is probably on some of these major things, big changes or something like that, that does give us an indication. But if you're not prepared to observe it in yourself, to pay attention to the detail, you might walk right through a strange timeline thing and not even pick up on it. Because I think there are indicators, but that we are not, our brain is so limited in what it is able to digest. It perceives much more than anything we can even imagine. But it's like a computer that can only take in a certain amount of data and then compare it to its database and say, well, these are all these points, so it must be that this is the sun. This, you know, must be the moon.
You know, I think that we have been basically hacked. It's like somebody's gone in with a pair of pliers and gone clip, 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 clip to all these sensory instruments. Like, for instance, the sense of telepathy, or the sense of the being in the right place at the right time, you know, to keep yourself out of danger. You just have a sense to move. You know, all of these senses, I believe they're all in the senses, and these are the things that represented by the 10 missing strands of DNA, or the 10 lost tribes, or whatever. That bips my idea. Nicky's, we're having arguments. Whose idea is the 12? It's like the Council of 12 is very common. But anyway,
I think the problem comes in is we've already got two.
Yeah.
You know, we've got
I think it's, we've got two left. I think basically they've clipped all the others away. But we're able now to very, and I think it's, this is the key, we have to be very, very still, because it's like all that's left is a little kind of dangling thread, and we have to be very, very carefully to pick that thread with our minds and very gently draw it down and kind of plug it back in, because it's kind of withered away. But it's possible, and then you can nurture that little connection. And that's why we need to be still and meditate, I think.
I think it's more like that it's an internet connection that isn't connected to a computer. It's there, it's always available, but where's the computer? Where do I get the computer that I can plug in there so that I've got all of my strands of DNA? I think that's what the problem is.
That's what, at this point, this is exactly what I'm talking about in the little machine, is a process controller. That's what's missing, exactly. They've removed the Arduino from our brains that allows us access into the rest of those facilities. Exactly. Yeah, that's exactly right.
Well, that would be true if they simply took it. First off, since, it's at least 2011, they have seen DNA changes in many of the animals, including the great apes. DNA changes. They found in 2014, they admitted that they had found a child that they could discern that he had three strands instead of the double helix. He actually had another strand of DNA. And it's probable that there's a lot of kids with extra DNA already. When you get into this particular area of the universe with all the activity and all the energies, I suspect that it is a place where the DNA can become reactivated, but also probably reconfigured. You know, brought into, because if they took and they wanted to get rid of your DNA, I suspect that they could do it, especially what we know now about energy healing and control of a body based on energy, that they could probably simply take the strands that they don't want there and highly vibrate them so that they're working in outside of 3D. My suspicion is that they're actually still there, and that they can be turned on by grounding them. Just they're connected still, but they're not grounded into the system, and so we think they're not working, because they're not working. But I believe we're in a process of reintegrating all of those DNA strands into human beings, and that we're going through changes that we can argue are because we've got a really good idea about solutions. We got free energy, and we've got the ability to heal with energy and sound and light and, you know, all these things. But the reality of it is that in this particular time and place, the DNA is turning on. We're just turning on, and we're going to have access to, and Simon Park says the same thing, is that, you know, if we activate the DNA and we start working with it, we're going to have all of the powers that we did have at one time and should have now, being telepathy and, you know, healing without these terrible pharmaceutical companies and all of the, you know, remote viewing, future travel, space, all of it. It's all ready to be just activated. And it's a matter of, can we get this thing activated correctly and purely? And I say, yeah, just stop listening to the matrix garbling stuff that tells you you can't. Because reality is what you think it is, and if you can think yourself into activating the DNA, you will. That's me.
This is the thing with... maybe I should play a tune. Should we play another tune? Since it's the top of the hour. And I'm going to play something very nice. Pastoral Sympathy. Pastoral Sympathy. Pastoral Symphony. Good old Ludwig von I can't hear a thing that I'm playing. Beethoven. And welcome back. This is Ever Beyond on Wall Spirit Radio. This is JP. I'm here with Nancy L. Hopkins. World famous for whatever you think. No, actually, we were talking during the break, and I came up with random thought number 37, which is actress Hedy Lamarr, who was born Hedwig Eva Maria Keisler in Vienna, Austria, in 1914. But Hedy Lamarr was very concerned about Nazi U-boats torpedoing ships. Because, you know, people used to travel around in ships in those days, you know, they didn't fly around. So she said at one point, "I've got to invent something that will put stop to that." And this design would give rise to the invention for which she would become very famous many years later. And she invented a technique which is called frequency hopping, because her idea involved making a radio signal hop around from frequency to interfere with signal jamming. Thus, a torpedo could be radio-guided with less fear of having the signal jammed. Now, here's the interesting bit, and the bit that should interest Ever Beyond listeners. To transform her idea into reality, she teamed up with the American avant-garde composer George Antheil of Ballet Mécanique fame, and together they constructed a device that would enable such radio signals to be synchronized. Antheil laid out a system based on 88 frequencies corresponding to the number of keys on a piano, using perforated paper rolls which would turn in sync with one another, transmitting and receiving ever-changing frequencies, preventing interceptance and jamming. Calling their invention the secret communication system, the creation was patented in 1942. Though the US government did not deploy the secret communication system during World War II, the US Navy commissioned a project to acoustically detect submarines using sonar buoys, remote controlled from airplanes employing frequency hopping in the 1950s. But in the end, these days, Wi-Fi, you'll notice that you can change channel, and sometimes it does, in order not to evade detection on some levels, but actually to get an optimal signal. You know, it tries different channels if it gets a better signal. So so there you go. That was an interesting little aside. And completely random, but probably tied in. I think it was tied in with the, like, what it had to do. And here's the thing, right? Because in my research about the Nazis, I found that the Nazis hated jazz, right? And the idea that they should employ an avant-garde jazz pianist to create the sequence of frequencies, which is basically, it would be a piano tune. Right, he's going to be playing a piano tune, and this would reflect in the changing of frequencies, so that the different carrier waves would change like a tune. And if they use jazz, the Nazis would never get it. I get that. Don't you? Yeah, I love that.
If you paid any attention to Randy Kramer and what he's been saying, and then Captain Richards.
I'm very interested in Mark Richards. Kramer is still, to me, he's got a big question mark still. But you know, it's one of these time will tell things with him, I think. But what have you been hearing? I haven't been paying much attention.
The reason I was tweaked on it was because one of the things that he told Kerry Cassidy of Camelot was, and I think it was Richards more so than Kramer, because I went through and I listened to both of them for as much as I could find on either one of them. But they were saying that in some cases, the Nazis that worked on the Bell didn't want to be in America. And yes, Simon talks about some of these people that were put back. They stayed in Germany under British citizenship, and then, you know, worked with the Americans even though they were in Germany, and did not come over here with paperclip. But this was something different, and it was that they changed their time and sent them back to Germany, so that they're in Germany, but they're what I got from it was that they're in Germany, but they were in the younger bodies. Then, you know, it was like, okay, maybe they were 45 when the war ended, but then they got into the secret science, the secret space program and the Star Trek world and everything else. And then they readjusted their time so that they could send them back to, so that they had, like, you know, the body of a teenager. And I wondered if you had heard any of that.
I'd love the body of a teenager. When will you send one round?
Not me.
Meanwhile, no, I wouldn't love the body of a teenager. But they're a right pain in the arse, actually, to have whiny teenagers. Imagine that.
Imagine when that. Your body doesn't feel yeah. like it belongs to you.
Yeah, yeah. It feels invincible as well. It's like, oh, yeah, you know, just go around, do, you know, I'll jump off the roof. I suppose that's the thing. The thing about sort of getting old is you realize the vulnerability of your body. It doesn't tumble around like you see on the films.
No, and you watch a baby and they fall down. Now, if I fell down like a baby did, I'd probably hurt myself, but they just bounce.
That's right. I mean,
you know, it's like they're elastic. You know, somewhere along the line, we just get stuck in our ways, and so therefore we can break. That's what it is. We get stuck in our ways. No, yeah. I find that so funny about Hedy Lamarr, because, again, that would be something that a woman at that time would be very unlikely to be involved in. And it goes back to the concept of, you know, did she say, I want to do something, and then created her own reality to do it? Because when you start to really get into all this concept of time and time, it's like, what in the heck is real? You know, it's like they can send themselves back with younger bodies and do it all over again. You know?
It sounds very like, yeah. that it's like a fantasy world, almost. Like, you can be blown up like a cartoon, you know, you blown up and you appear next week, there you go, you're here again, you know. They threw the bits that they brought back in a plastic bag, they threw the bits into the box and out you walk, you know. What the heck's going on?
Well, you really liked that Jupiter Ascending, didn't you?
Yeah, that was good fun. Lots of bangs, but, you know, there's the Wachowski siblings. You know, they like that sort of thing.
And that they were the people that did The Matrix?
Yeah.
To tell you the truth, I watched it last night or the night before. Last night. No, the night before. And I thought it was terrible. Just terrible. And I was, because they were disclosing information that is probably very true. But they were also creating this image of a very dark and nasty reality. And that's what a lot of these disclosure vehicles are doing, in my opinion, is that they are giving you, oh yeah, there's all this badness happening, but look at what else is happening, which is, you know, these awful environments or scenarios of, you know, these people that are still in control and, you know, harvesting humans. And I found it very disturbing. It's like, if this is a disclosure movie, it's not my kind of disclosure.
Well, it's a disclosure of some very uncomfortable ideas. The idea that our life essence is harvested and traded and sold elsewhere in the universe. And people talk even of loose futures, you know, the idea that you can harvest. And all of these false flag events, all these places, all these events that make you go, oh no, isn't that terrible? You squeeze out a little bit of loose, a little bit of energy that is harvested by fourth dimensional entities who eat this stuff. This is the story. And we really need to, you know, the whole cycle needs to stop. And if we could stop these false flags, or stop the effect of the false flags happening, which is like we take away the element of surprise and they don't happen properly, then these beings are starved and they leave eventually. But there's currently food for them, because we're going, oh dear, isn't that terrible?
Did you hear, I don't remember who told the story, it was somebody that knew somebody that was in the professional TV wrestling stuff that they do. I don't watch wrestling, but apparently they have these big wrestling matches, and there's a lot of energy and a lot of people, and there's all these televisions all over the place. And this guy that worked in this particular environment, he told whoever it was that was telling the story. I don't know if it was David Wilcock or somebody else,
yeah,
but it was somebody. It was somebody that I, you know, was listening to because I thought they told me the truth. But anyway, this guy said that, oddly enough, that at the end of every one of these events, all these televisions would disappear. And supposedly, the louche, the energy that was being given off in these events by the humans, was absorbed into the television matrix of the screen, I guess, and that they could then take it and sort of squeeze it, like you said, like a, you know, to get this louche out. Now, did you hear that story?
Yep, I heard that. That's it. It's
Was that David?
Yeah, I think it's the crystalline screen that does it.
Right, right.
It was they would cut it into little pieces, and so every, you know, they would all get a bit of the you know, it would be, have some louche locked in the crystal. Lovely, lovely. I bet they sold a good got a good price for that. I bet.
Anyway. But David also said that if they did not have this sustenance, that they would die within 24 hours. So if everybody stopped being afraid and putting out emotional, you know, louche, they'd all die.
That's right. So this takes us back. Let's just take this back to our own bodies. Right, because this is my current thing, is, and you've heard me talk about the Nung and the yeast body that is in control of many people and turns them very bad tempered and kind of hungry all the time, and the idea that it causes you to feel the feeling of wanting to eat. It's like it fakes the idea that you're hungry to your body. It sends the signals. And it's just looking for more of itself. So it's looking for beer. It's looking for more yeast, and it's looking for sugar. Beer and food. Food and food and food. So it's like a feeding, hungry organism that will stop at nothing to get fed. And our bodies are infested with these things, and if we stop feeding them, they do go away and they do lose their influence over us, and we can get our brains back. And I've proved it. I've done it myself. I'm feeling so much clearer now, having reduced my candida overgrowth, and I've been using borax to do it, and also eating less wheat and sugar. Although it was delicious, darling, it was very delicious, but please, not so much sugar next time. Anyway, I tried to keep away from sugar and stuff, and you know, it's a party.
Well, you know, I mean, the problem we have here is that what we're talking about sounds absolutely just beyond anything we can understand or believe. And yet, when I first encountered it, that was my reaction. Oh, come on. There's got to be a limit to the rabbit hole. It's got to have a bottom somewhere. And then the more you look at it, the more you hear from different sources that this is all, I mean, where does it end? And I say it ends when we decide it ends. Because just as the Just as this new reality is starting to permeate all of us, in that it's not a matter of the future being, you know, 50, 100 years into the future. The future is on the other side of the veil of secrecy that they have developed in and around us. Star Trek is there. All of the supposed fiction was true. We know that Roddenberry was definitely read into the entire scheme. And it was probably a way of some of them attempting disclosure at a very early time frame. I don't know that Star Trek was sanctioned by the people that were building this thing. We can assume it was, and maybe some of them really wanted to tell, you know, well, let's break it to the people, let's tell them what's happening. And then the secrecy got more and more and more. It's like the Star Trek, the Stargate television series. You know, thanks to the military establishment for giving us this information. If you put it out as fiction, everybody goes, oh, but it's fiction. No, it's true. So that when everything is opened up and they tell you all the truth, well, you've already seen it in fiction, so at least your brain has been somewhat sensitized to what is real. But it just sounds like we're nutty to talk about it, and yet we're not talking about it because we're nutty people. We're talking about it because the research is telling us that this is likely the truth, that there are critters out there that live on energy that we put out as fear and emotion, and, you know, so they work to create that in us in so many different ways. It's a bizarre universe, Jay.
And we just work here, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, well, loosh. The idea that people give off energy that can be harvested, in Wilcox's books, he proves all of these things. There is, now, what creature was it? There was, I think, it could be like two little plants. And if one of them is slightly weaker, then it gets to a point where it gives up its life force energy to the stronger one and lets go and dies.
Well, that's interesting, because when we were hit by Andrew, the Hurricane Andrew down here, there was just tremendous death of trees. I mean, just terrible. And I have this big, huge mango tree out there that I always called Mother. It just seemed to be the mother tree in the yard. And I went out after the storm, and she was really beat up, and I didn't know if she would survive. And I was feeling, you know, really upset about what I was feeling and what was happening. And I just stood there and, you know, really was trying to put my healing into the mother tree and feeling very bad about all the other trees. And after a few minutes, I, you know, was walking away, and I hear this voice say to me, "Don't worry about the other trees," but very slowly presented, you know. And I thought, did that tree just talk to me? What was that, you know? And so I turned around, I'm looking at the tree, and I'm going like, could you explain this to me? And apparently it takes a tree a long time to get a telepathic signal out, because it was taking minutes. I'm standing there waiting for, you know, but once it started, it was like, exactly what she told me was that every tree that had died during the storm, the energy of that tree had gone into other trees, making them stronger. And, you know, so it was like, I'm just confirming what you just said, based upon a very metaphysical but a very real experience to me.
Interesting. In fact,
fascinating.
Even there. Meanwhile, so the weaker one gives energy to the stronger one when it's, you know, so there's a thing about eating food there, isn't there?
Yes, I learned because of that experience when I go out and I'm picking kale, you know, and I see it, one of the kale plants will be getting weaker because it's a little older, whatever. And when it's getting down and I can see that it's basically giving up its life force, I, you know, say, you know, give your energy to the plants that are still there. Now, I don't know if it makes a difference or not, but if you acknowledge these energies in the plants, in the animals, in everything, it's certainly doing no harm, and it's probably doing, if we're right, it's doing a massive amount to change the relationship of those energies, because, you know how it is when you got some poor person that has nothing to live for, has been beaten down, and one person says, you know, I think you've got something to live for. That can make all the difference. And for all I know, the same thing's for a plant. You know, be strong. Go to another plant. Keep going. Keep going. Keep your life force in the mix. But I do know that the kale tastes better than anything else I eat because it's grown outside in my garden.
Yeah, good old kale. Actually, I don't eat enough kale. And it's turned into this huge thing of flowers. It's a kind of yellow flowery bush at the moment. It's quite nice. I kind of, sometimes I munch the tips. That's very nice. But it hasn't had many leaves. I'll have leaves, further leaves. Further
people
down the
can't get to that. We at least grow something live, you know, but most people don't even feel what live vegetables are. Live plants are. They don't know what we're talking about because they've never experienced it. They buy dead stuff in the store. You know?
Death. The death industry. Apparently, there's some people, someone's talking about in the store, if you go around the outside, everything's fine. But if you go to the inner aisles, that's where all the junk stuff is. So just avoid the inner, inner aisles. Anyway. Yeah. The idea of this thing that I talk about, the Nung, and the idea that it might have something to do with the with Lush as well, is that, you know, if you send frequencies through, say, harp or something that tweak the Nung, that causes you distress, that then causes you to emit the Lush. Maybe there's some kind of connection that we're talking. It's like an ancient nanotechnology or radio technology, maybe. Because it certainly affects our consciousness. You know, some people can become completely obsessed and overwhelmed by the need to feed this creature, which eventually becomes a cancer. Yeah, it's a parasitic thing.
Well, I find that sometimes I get a craving. Like the most recent one was Breyer's chocolate ice cream, and I don't normally crave sweets, but it was like I couldn't get enough of this chocolate ice cream. But I think it might have been that my body was down on calcium, because I'm going like, because after four of these container things over about 2-3 weeks, I didn't want it at all, and yeah, I just think that people sometimes, if they pay more attention to what their body is really craving, not what's easy, you know, because sometimes it's easy. Oh, I'll just grab that, you know, whatever it is, instead of really paying attention to what their bodies want. I've told people this: if you want to lose weight, don't take anything out of your diet. Start putting things into your diet. We used to go have Wendy's every lunchtime. Somebody would make a Wendy's run. And then the shop manager started eating lunch with me, and he would have a lot of fruit, you know. And so I started eating a little, couple pieces of his fruit and stuff, and I'm going like, interesting. Because I started to feel like that the fruit was more interesting to me than the hamburger was. And so then I drop a piece of broccoli on the floor, and the dog eats it. And I said, you like this? I gave her another one. She said, yeah. So I started buying broccoli for the dog. And because I was buying I started eating myself. And then I started bringing vegetables in. Well, to make a long story short, all of a sudden, I couldn't even think about swallowing a French fry. And then I couldn't handle the hamburgers. So I ended up, by not taking anything out of my diet, but putting in things to my diet, my body was saying, oh, no, I want that vegetable, I want that fruit, I don't want that hamburger. And our bodies are extremely brilliant in so many ways. And if we listen to them, when you eat something like yeast or something like sugar, and you pay attention that, you know, okay, it was really great going down, but now you're not feeling so good, and you acknowledge that and give it power, the next time you go for sugar, you're going to start remembering you felt bad after you ate it. And work with your body to find out what works and what doesn't work.
Well, I think this is to do with the relationship that we have with our body, which is we think we are it and that we can do what we like with it. But if you think that your body is just like your car, nobody would ever dream of putting custard into the fuel tank. You know, you wouldn't put beer in your fuel tank. You wouldn't put bread in your fuel tank. You'd put petrol, the only thing that it would eat, you know. So your vehicles have specific fuels, and everybody's got their own specific fuels, I think. And a lot of them are involving, here's the thing about minerals, right? So it may be, yes, calcium, but also magnesium, because chocolate contains a large amount of magnesium. And although your body can live without it, you do need it for the calcium to be reabsorbed. So if your bones are feeling creaky, maybe some chocolate ice cream is just the thing.
Well, I thought it was perfect.
Sounds perfect to me. If you're losing it, you've got calcium, you've got the magnesium in the chocolate, your happiness is guaranteed by eating your way through a tub of ice cream.
Well, not only that, but it was Breyers. It was very specific Breyers, which is all natural. You know, I had started out with some of the local grocery stores, you know, it was on sale, and I'm like, I don't like this. I really didn't enjoy any of that first thing, you know. And then the next week I go in and Breyers is two for one, two, you know, buy one, you get the second one free. And it was the Breyers. It was like I'm sitting there and I'm going, oh my God, I can't believe how good this stuff is. And then, like I say, I went through this, and I didn't even think about the magnesium connection to the chocolate. But it would have been, if my bones were having trouble, that would have been the perfect solution. And plus, it was so good. I like it when the solution is really fun, too.
Yeah, that's right. It's always good when it all works out like that, isn't it?
Yeah.
So from chocolate to time vortexes, had we, see if we've exhausted the... I haven't done very much time-traveling Nazi research this week. So I haven't got very much new stuff on that. There is a definite energy change that has gone on. It's like my focus has changed a bit. More of an inner situation, yeah.
Well, I had a... when we started becoming aware of the Blue Avians and the Spheres, the Sphere Alliance, which we've talked about on different shows at different times. But I asked Gaia, I said, because I talked to Gaia. Gaia talks to me. She'll talk to anybody if you just give her a chance. And I'm saying to her, these are good guys. I mean, should I be open to messages from these people? Yes, 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 yes. So I start to open up to that those messages, but Gaia stopped talking. And I'd ask her a question, I could get an answer, but I was really getting a no talking thing. And I finally, like, because again, if you have to know how to ask the questions, and that only comes from asking questions all the time and finding out when they will answer. Oh, well, that's the type of question they want to answer. And so I finally got the question, and it was like, what is it? Am I missing something? What am I missing? And she said, you've got to learn something. By yourself. I can't tell you. You've got to go learn. And I'm going like, what am I supposed to learn? So then I just follow the breadcrumbs, and it ended up with Simon, and then it went to Randy, and then it went back to David, and then David Wilcock and Randy Kramer, and then it goes back to you know, Carrie Cassidy, and then it goes over, and I'm reading about Richards, Captain Richards, and it's like, oh my God, we got this. The Star Wars, I mean, the Star Trek universe is there, and oh my God, what is this all about? We got all these aliens that have been living here forever and ever, and what is this about? And some of them want to eat us, but they want to be our friends because the other guy is more. And it got crazier and crazier, and I'm going, what in the world, you know? So then the other couple days ago, I get up and I get this really intense communication from Gaia, and she says, I want them gone. Just like that. And I went, you want who gone? And she went, I want them gone. You know what I'm going like? You want the ETs gone? You know, hoping that was the answer. Yes, I want them gone. Any being that does not have my DNA imprint, I want them gone. And I said, good guys and bad guys, I want them gone if they don't have the same DNA. And since then, there has been a massive change in the energies, in my opinion. She just basically, what we're getting, what we're understanding at this, in this new paradigm of this new coexisting, co-creation with a knowing way, is that yes, Gaia can do anything, but Gaia has made a pact with us, I suppose, or higher powers or whatever, that her future depends on our future. She and we are so, she can't just say, oh, I'm going to start over again. She's creating these human vehicles that will allow the human being to acquire powers that I don't think that is even acquirable by other ET environments. Because, and you remember when we were talking to Toloth the other, last week, and I was telling him what Simon had said about the DNA, in that we should begin to try to do telepathy and remote viewing and all the other, you know, psionics, I mean, when you're moving things with your mind and all of that sort of thing, because we have, because they've mucked around with our DNA so much, we have DNA from at least 12 other soul groups, which means that we are connected to, in a DNA way, with 12 other soul groups or soul systems. And that you cannot, one of the laws of the universe is that you cannot interact with another soul group or be allowed into their space if you don't have the signature of the DNA of that group. And so what Simon was saying is that human beings are different because they have DNA from all these different star families. And Tolik was like, whoa, now this makes so much sense to me, because he had been told that human beings were thought of as being royalty. That within all the universe, there's something special about the human being, and it very well could be the fact that we have all this DNA in us. So what I think that has happened is that Gaia got to a consciousness level where she said, I think I can take these primates, and I think I can make a creator god kind of thing out of them, you know, human beings. And so you don't just, well, I don't think it works this way. I think you have to have a storyline. So it's not like Gaia says, oh, okay, let's do this, and boom, you got this missing link, which could have happened. It'd be much more interesting for Gaia to say, I think I'll go get the Anunnakis to come here and mess with her DNA. There's a storyline. Okay, so they come and they mess with our DNA. You know, oh, maybe we'll have these guys over here come over. And she's bringing in, allowing into her space, into her creative environment, 3D operations that at the 3D level, because I think we tend to put down the 3D, and it wouldn't be here if it wasn't critically important. So at the 3D level, she brings in all these different alien soul peoples to mess with our DNA, and inadvertently to them, they're creating the vehicle that will allow human beings in a certain future point to acquire powers that all of them would love to have. But you only can have them if you got all the DNA, and the only place you can get that is in human beings. So by her, by Gaia's stipulation that she wants them all gone, what she's saying is that, again, my interpretation of it, is she, what she's saying is that we have got to have the space away. Get away from me. Get away from my planet. And she was very specific. She said that they had to leave Earth, the Moon, and Mars. And I said, you know, the whole solar system? She said, I don't have jurisdiction over the whole solar system. Richards was the one that I think was talking about the fact that ETs consider there's a creator god of at least Saturn that they actually deal with. That they acknowledge Saturn as a creator god, has a creator god. But anyway, so but she can give herself and her human beings the time to be able to sort through all of this mess that these, I suppose they were trying to do the right thing, people that kept all this secret from the rest of us, not realizing we're all in this together. And if you're keeping the vast majority of humanity blind to the fact that you have now created Star Trek, and you're not telling us this for whatever reason, I don't know, that you're actually damaging yourself. You're never going to have power over others if you don't tell the people. Well, that's gone anyway, but you're never going to have the power that you need to be a real player in the universe if you don't have the entire numbers of humanity with you. So I think that when I went through this thing just this, you know, like 3 days ago with Gaia, it's a change that is upon us, but it's really based on the fact that she has just had enough. She needs the space. We need the space to lick our wounds, figure out what we're going to do next, and get these people away from us that think they should have, that they have any rights here, that they have any right to tell us what to do. And I'm not just talking about the cabal and the people that are right here in front of us in the 3D. I'm talking about the 3D ETs that need to get the hell out of here. Because, and she apparently, the way she had it delivered to them was, this is not a suggestion. If you do not get out of here, you're just going to disappear. I mean, I think Gaia herself is beginning to grow in power as we grow in power and understanding. We're in this together.
To me, it feels like Gaia was somebody hit her on the head with a rock, right?
Yeah.
And the concussion period has lasted 13,000 years, which is why we consider it to be a kind of dark age, you know, because, and now she's coming round and realized that, you know, while she was out cold, you know, things have happened to her. But one of the, on the esoteric books, they say that the humanity is the throat center of the planet. In an interesting way. So it's the thing that the planet uses to communicate with other planets.
I don't know what to think of that.
Interesting though, isn't it? That we represent its the active intelligence. That's what third ray is. So it's the throat center's function of communication, obviously, because we talk with the throat center, but it's also the center of manipulation, where, you know, we balance our arms at the throat center.
Russians know that the DNA, we talk about DNA, that DNA, the most powerful manipulator of DNA is the human voice. They've determined that. They've been able to watch DNA change under the influence of the human frequency, voice frequency.
That's right.
Matched.
That's right. So again, it comes down to the frequency that you're tuning into. If it's tweaked, if you change it very slightly, you can change a lot of aspects of reality around you. And again, this takes us back to the 432, 440 thing. More on that in a near future time. We're going to be we have a little project on that, on the 432 saga. Anyway, we're keeping up with that. But it's very, very good to have 432 music. You can hear it on Wall Spirit Radio. We try and play it as much as we can. No, I mean, obviously there's a lot of commercial music that is what's known as standard tuning, which is 440. All of the jingles and things like that are on 432. Anyway, meanwhile, including my theme tune, is that's a 432 time. So here with Nancy. We're just rounding up the last half hour of Ever Beyond. We'll have Frank Jordan in a few moments, in about 15 minutes' time. He'll be on with Francis and Stephen and all the other people. And so, so Nancy, we were discussing the idea of a reconnecting the 12 strands, or reconnecting the 10 missing strands, is not about rising up, but about a drawing down. This is the latest thinking. Have you heard anything about this? He said, like Simon says, like they clipped, almost like they clipped them off and they flibbered up to the top, and they've kind of knotted them all at the above our heads. But we can kind of unknot them with our minds and draw them down like threads. Is that part of your technique?
Well, I don't know where they are, but I do believe that they're etheric, that the energy signature is still there. It's just that it's not manifesting in the below the speed of light to create a DNA 3D version of itself, except in some of these kids that are being born with extra DNA. And that's why there's a lot of children out there who are being diagnosed with all sorts of very bizarre diseases. And it's based on the fact that they're doing assessments on a database that is no longer valid. They're not looking for 3, 4, 6, 10, 12 strands of DNA. They're basing it on a database that's based on 2 DNA. So some of these assessments that they're making of these children, they got a horrible disease, is just BS. They don't have a horrible disease. The science, the medical science, cannot see that they are actually different. Their body type is different. They've got more DNA strands. Stephanie's daughter is one of these kids. I think if they looked for the DNA, she must have different DNA, because this child will tell us things that we don't understand what she's saying, only to find out within a few days what she meant. If I've got a question, I call Stephanie and say, ask his daughter, about this question. Because the children are superior to us. They know more. They're hooked up. They've got the DNA working. So as adults, we've got to be willing to make drastic changes, not just changes in 3D life, 3D existence, by giving permission for this remapping of our DNA, this reconnection to our DNA. It's all happening. It's just that some of us are going to get there faster than others. And as I've said to my listeners, that I consider myself a pathfinder. My whole life has been designed and controlled by my higher self, by Gaia, by archangels, by I don't know who, to be in a very particular place where I'm prepared. I'm 67 years old. I got a dog. I got a cat. I got a good house that's okay. I don't have to worry. And so because I've been put in this position, I have the job of saying, take your mind and allow it to imagine having all of this DNA all through your system. Now, what that means is the Russians, in their science, have looked at what is called the 90% of DNA. They call it junk DNA in the West, and the Russians say, that's crazy. You're looking at 10%, and there's 90% sitting there with nobody understanding it. So they have focused on the 90%, and what they determined is that DNA is really a biological internet, and that the vibration of the cell is what is called is sending the signal. We use electromagnetic signal, but they're using, again, energy and vibration to resonate with the next one to send the signal farther and farther down. So that's why the human voice can actually remodulate the frequency of the internet at the biological DNA level. So if that's true, if they can tell us without any hesitation that that's what they have been able to measure time and time again, then we are not initiating our own free will to become all that we can be. And all that's going to take is a mental understanding that we can be so much more than we can even imagine, as long as we are prepared to do it. And if you're prepared to do it, just start imagining it. Say, I want this DNA. I want to be able to do this. I want to feel connected to the higher consciousness of this biosphere, creator consciousness. Because you can't have manifestation without consciousness. There's got to be somebody. And I'm not saying there's not a source God. Don't tell me. I mean, I think that if I was a source God, I would create these creator gods just to make sure everything goes right. Instead of making all these ETs and human beings without any sort of like buffer zone in there that can watch everything and that can, you know, have a higher consciousness. Because anytime you limit the consciousness of your creator God in the biosphere you're living in, you're limiting the consciousness of source God, and why would you think you had the right to do that?
Exactly. And that's why, and you can see in Stargate, it's illustrated that the really higher ascended beings, I mustn't touch that, because if I touch that, there are big consequences. And they realize that, so they realize they can't. So it turns out the only people who can interfere in Earth stuff is 3D beings, because it doesn't work. There's too many. The consequences are bad enough in the 3D, but they'd be harder in the 4 and higher.
Yeah, that's why I'm firmly convinced that all of this mucking around with us, those ET people might have thought that they were doing it on their own volition, but I don't think so. I don't underestimate creator gods. You know, I think Gaia said, let's just bring these people in and let them build at the 3D level a very intricate vehicle for higher consciousness, and I think that's why so many beings in the known galaxy, at least probably the universe, and many universes maybe want to be here, want to get in these bodies. You know, and the thing of it is that if Simon is correct and that we are actually carrying a fundamental signature of all these different soul families, it would seem to me that many, many different soul families could take over these bodies, the human body. So the fact that he looks at somebody and says, you've got reptilian in you, you've got mantis in you, you've got, you know, whatever, makes sense. Yeah, sure. Because we as human beings are very unique. And as soon as we wake up to that, and we begin to exercise those powers, that's when we're going to be back into an environment where it's not going to be heaven. If you want to go to heaven, go to heaven. We're trying to see a reality where you can learn and you can experience and you can eat chocolate ice cream as long as it's Breyers, and you can just live. You know, yeah, there's dangers, and yeah, you got to do this, you got to do that, but you're not being cruel. You're not taking from somebody else because you want it for yourself. You know, let's get rid of this stuff that's really limiting our ability to go where human beings have never gone before, you know, to our own potential.
And with that, thank you very much for coming with me, Nancy.
My pleasure, Jay. I'm sorry your guest didn't get here. She sounded really interesting.
Yeah, well, you know, we'll have her on again, and we'll see. And there we go. Just scrolling down looking for my outro. Here we go. Ever gone to outro and then EMTT. So, thank you very much, Nancy. Thank you, everybody, for listening. We'll be back next week. I've got Mary Electra. That should be another very interesting conversation, and hopefully she'll turn up. So, Nancy L. Copkins of CosmicReality.com
net
and Cosmic Reality Radio Show on Tuesdays. What time?
7 to 9.
7 to 9.
Eastern.
Yeah. Which is what PST?
4 to. Is that right?
4 till 6.
Oh, yeah, 4 to 6.
Good night, everybody.
3. Good night. Hook it up with.
beyond.